Merry Christmas in the name of Jesus.
Merry Christmas.
The account of our Lord's conception and birth has all the makings of a tragedy about it. If you didn't know the full story, it would sound a bit like this. A young, unmarried woman has a surprise pregnancy. Because of a government-mandated census, she gives birth while traveling away from home. She and her fiancé are poor, almost homeless. When the birth happens, they're staying in something like a barn, a space suitable for domesticated animals, but not for people. The child is wrapped in a simple cloth, laid in a feed trough. He begins life in squalor and misery, covered with dirt and with dust. It's perhaps not quite a ghetto or a shelter, but it's not all that different either. He's just another number for the census, a person who might as well be anonymous, a nobody. The world takes no notice of him. And if you had seen that happening, you might have wondered about this child. What will become of this child? What will happen to him? It probably wouldn't have surprised people to find out that this child would die in the prime of life, only a few miles from where he had been born. The circumstances of his birth would seem then to foretell the circumstances of his death. They also wouldn't be surprised to hear that he died a notorious death as a criminal, first being publicly shamed and then brutally executed. You might say that there's a dark poetic justice to it. He entered the world naked, and he would leave the world naked. He was humiliated at his birth. He would be humiliated at his death. As a newborn, he was laid in a wooden manger, and as a grown man, he would be laid on a wooden cross. Had the people in Bethlehem that night known how it would end for this child, they might have nodded their heads and simply said, "We're not surprised." What do you expect of someone born into these circumstances? And that's often how it seems, doesn't it? You are whatever you're born into. If you're born an elite into the upper crust, then you'll stay elite in the upper crust. But if you're born working class, then you are and always will be working class. I know that's not entirely true in our day, but it's still generally true. The apple never does fall far from the tree. Yes, parents tell their children that they can do whatever they want and they can be anything they want. But it rarely works out that way. Those at the top tend to stay at the top. Those at the bottom tend to stay at the bottom. And the great many in between, well, they tend to stay in between as well. And back in the time when Jesus was born, it was even more extreme. There was no change, no mobility, no movement, no future, especially for someone born in a stable and laid in a manger. Fate seems to rule our lives as well. Often we feel like we're stuck with the way things are, that we're stuck with our lives the way they are, that we're stuck with ourselves the way we are. But it's not our social standing that matters most, it's our spiritual standing. And if you are what you're born into, then we're all doomed. From Adam and Eve, until the end of time, it would be one great big tragedy. And each of our lives would be tragic too. Why do I say this? Because it would mean that we're all stuck. If there is no change, if nothing new ever happens under the sun, then we're all stuck in the squalor of our own sin, and we're stuck with the misery of death. And it wouldn't matter whether we came from wealth or poverty or whatever. We'd just be stuck with those things. There would be no escape No escape ever from our sharp tongues and our lustful eyes and our rude demeanors and our angry and bitter hearts. And there would be no reason for us to fight against these things or to struggle against our sin. We could simply resign ourselves to our sin and to death. We could just shrug our shoulders and say, "What do you expect of someone born into these circumstances? It was fated to be like this." Yes, it has all the makings of a tragedy, except for one thing, except for that child. It's true the pregnancy was a surprise, but the greatest surprise is not that this woman is pregnant, but that this young unmarried woman is still a virgin, that she's still a virgin even though she's pregnant and even after she gives birth, because this child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And it's true that she gave birth while on the road, but there was a power higher than Caesar Augustus that brought them to Bethlehem. God had promised that the Messiah would be born in the city of David. And yes, this child was born in a stable and wrapped in swaddling cloths like an animal. But then again, he came to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And yes, he was put in a manger where animals feed, but what else would you expect of one who is to be the bread of life, who came down from heaven for the entire world? What you see doesn't tell the whole story. And if you think that this is the story of a great tragedy, then you are definitely mistaken, because this is the story of your redemption. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Yes, it is her son, but he is also the very Son of God. And he has come to redeem us from the tragedies of our lives. He has come to redeem us from the tragedy of our sin. He has come to rescue us from the squalor and filth and dust and dirt of this fallen world. He has come to save us from the circumstances of our births and from the inevitability of our deaths. He has come to give us a future beyond what fate dictates. And I will tell you this about the child born in Bethlehem. Though his birth may not have mattered much to anyone, your birth and your life, and yes, even your death, matter a great deal to him. To him, no one is just a number. No one is anonymous. No one means nothing, not even you. And no one is too lowly, no one is too humiliated, no one is too lost for him, not even you. No one is so stuck in sin that they are beyond his forgiveness, not even you. So what will become of this child? What will happen to him? He will do what he was appointed to do. He will save his people. He enters the tragedy of sin and death to interrupt that tragedy and to bring it to an end. And he does it by sticking a cross in the spokes of fate. That's what our Lord does. He comes to the manger that he might go to the cross. He's born a baby so that he may redeem you by his blood. He bought us back from the fate that was in store for us, even death and hell. Yes, I know we still live with sin and death, but I'm here to tell you tonight that because of him, the tragedy is over. The power of sin is broken. The hold that death has on our lives is limited. Yes, they may sting us, they may bite us, but they cannot have us. They cannot rule over us, not now, not ever. For the child has been born, who undoes the work of sin, who conquers death itself. So that no matter whether you are rich or poor, no matter whether you are high or low, this child was born for you. And the announcement that the angels made to the shepherds is the announcement that was given for you as well. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, that will be for all the people. For unto you, yes, even you, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen.